Michelle Delaney is the director of the Smithsonian Consortium for Understanding the American Experience, which is a title I think every one of us should have on our business card. Unfortunately, we're not smart enough. But anyway, Michelle is, and she has it on her business card, and we're very proud to have her as our guest. She is author of the observation that the Catskill region is not only the birthplace of American art, but she also says growing research shows that it's also the cradle of American art. Delaney will be speaking tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Pratt Museum in Prattsville. She'll be giving the keynote address for the Pratt Museum's 2014 season, which is titled Big History, Small Museums, Understanding the American Experience Through Collaboration. The paintings, watercolors, and drawings of D.F. Hasbrook, am I right on that?
Yes.
American Impressionist is the new exhibition at the Pratt Museum. Carolyn Bennett is the museum director, and she is here to tell us about that and big history of this small museum and much, much more. And it's a great pleasure to welcome both Carolyn Bennett and Michelle Delaney to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
It's a delight to have you here. So, Carolyn, let us begin with you of a very exciting season for the Pratt and what is going on. And so, let's talk about the exhibit, and then we'll morph into how you got Michelle involved.
Well, the exhibit features 30 plus paintings, watercolors of a Catskills artist, Dubois Fenelon Hasbrook, and the way that that artist came to our attention is a couple of years ago, pre-flood, one of our dedicated members said that she collected D.F. Hasbrook and that that would make an interesting show. And I had planned other things for the museum because at the time before Hurricane Irene hit Prattsville and pretty much decimated the first floor of the museum, it was a hybrid. It was a historic house museum dedicated to the life and work of its namesake and town founder, Zadig Pratt. And then we had two small rooms where we would put on little exhibits of interest. After the flood, had no walls. I had, at one point, had no alarm system, although we put a new one in. Well, we were really, you know, challenged. And so I thought, what's the easiest type of exhibit to mount and the safest in case, God forbid, another storm hit us?
You can be a little gun-shy after that.
Right. So because in the museum, we got about 3.5 feet of water. So I figured, oh, good, paintings. They'll be 4 feet or more off the ground. So, and we could easily remove them if we needed to, unlike the heavy 19th century furniture that had been there. So then I remembered this member, and I tasked our program coordinator, Susie Walsh, who is herself an artist, with doing some research and going and visiting the collectors in Stamford. Hasbrook was born in Ulster County, in Pine Hill, and his travels took him to New York City. It also took him to Kingston frequently. He rode the rails from Kingston to Stamford, and Stamford is eventually where he lived and died. So he really was a regional figure, and to put a point on it, the Zadig Pratt Museum needed to regionalize itself in order to raise the money that it needed, which was significant, to put itself together again after the flood. So it's a wonderful show. Susie's done a great job of researching and putting it together. And everyone who comes to the museum really likes it. And we have a catalog that will be out shortly. And so that's part of our mission is to try to rescue under-researched historical figures, which is where Michelle comes in.
All right. So Michelle, as I mentioned, is the director of the Smithsonian's Consortium for Understanding the American Experience, which, again, is just the coolest title. How did you come into this? We'll get specific as to what you'll be talking about and how this fits into the Pratt's mission. But how did you come into this line of work?
Well, I've been at the Smithsonian for almost 25 years. The first 21 years prior to my time in the research consortium, I was a curator of photography at the National Museum of American History. And within that collection was a very unique and special collection of 62 hilotypes, early experiments in color photography by the Reverend Levi Hill, who just happens to be from Westkill, New York, right. And had a relationship to Zadok Pratt as a benefactor and had spent much time locally in the Catskills training new photographers and working on his own daguerreotypes and these early color experiments. And so when I started to investigate this collection, a collection that I knew little about but had come to the Smithsonian in 1933 from Hill's son-in-law, I found just a world of controversy around Hill's work and his experiments in an early color process, which in the 1850s was something that national and international photographers were trying to achieve, moving from the black and white of the daguerreotype and the early paper prints to a color process that everyone thought would be an exciting opportunity.
So was it controversial just because of the move toward the technological? Or why was it controversial?
It ended up being controversial because Hill would withhold his process for 5 years. So all of the work that he was doing in Westkill and Prattsville and talking to some of his photographer and art colleagues was not being released commercially. There are many New York City photographers who hoped to bring it to a commercial success, and Hill wanted to perfect it. He worked with his wife. He worked with, other people locally.
So the market forces are out there saying, let's go. And he's saying, we're not ready yet.
Exactly. And it never ended up being commercially viable. Yeah. He inspired photographers nationally and artists nationally as well as internationally. There was quite a competition going back and forth between France and the U.S. on who would actually achieve a color photography process. And so for the majority of the 1850s, Hill and the small hamlet of Westkill and town of Prattsville, are on an international stage in the early history of American photography and international photography. So Smithsonian holding this important collection that had been researched, I'll say haphazardly, after the 1850s, because Hill, his wife passes in 1855, and he really ends his work in photography 1856-57 and moves down to New York City. So he moves on and he does other things with his last part of his career, the last 10 years of his life. But all of the interest in his color photography experiments remains to today. And what I needed to do was access some of the local historians. When I started to do my research, I could read at length in journals from the time period. But what was here locally in the community museums that might really shed the light of who Hill was, who was his community, how was he interacting with New York and Albany and all of the artists, the Hudson River School painters, right, who were here at the time. So I needed to branch, I needed to get beyond the walls of the Smithsonian and Washington and those boundaries. And I have to mention that I grew up in Newburgh.
Oh, okay.
So there was my own local connection. And how would how that has really influenced me, because I've learned a lot about the Hudson River Valley and all of the innovators who were working in photography and painting in the arts at the time. So really putting it in context, it's been a pleasure to meet all of the local historians, and I hope to meet more.
So you come to this notion that this area, this region, is a cradle of American art. And what I'm curious about is why that is ultimately important, in the sense of what can we do now with that information and that research?
Well, part of what we're doing, is building a team. The the move that I made at Smithsonian from an individual curator's position to a research consortium is to expand the type of research and the new types of partnerships that we can build as scholars and researchers. Thinking about the history of photography, actually what I would call inventing American photography, how are the individuals at work in the early era of photography? Photography is only about 10 years old when Levi Hill and his counterparts here in the Catskills are working to expand the format. How does it inform everything all the way up until today? Now, today we all carry cameras with our phones,
right,
or digital cameras, and maybe we don't think of ourselves as a photographer every day when we pull out those new pieces of technology, but Hill was inspirational in finding a way to think about color, to think about natural color, and to move photography forward. He wrote one of the best manuals on photography, on daguerreotype photography ever, and that comes out in 1850, just before his 1851 experiments begin with color. And he truly was an innovator. He was experimenting. Our collection at Smithsonian is experimental, and that's another reason to embrace it. Because there's black and white, there's true color, there's additive color where, you know, there was painted color added on. But for those 18 plates that show the real color, he had success. And the way that he moved forward and inspired others to be innovators in the arts and how he connected with the communities here and wrote words that were shared internationally, it affects photography up until today. And there are still many areas to be explored.
Carolyn?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that coming over here today, I was talking about our partnership, and I said, it's amazing to me that in going through the Pratt papers, we have a photograph of this. He looks like one of the Smith brothers with a long beard. His name is J.B. Gregory. And I knew him as the druggist in town in the early to mid-19th century. So I was looking at some books that survived the flood, and I find his ledger. And instead of finding, you know, drugs or pharmacy-related things, I find paintings. Say, that's very curious. So I go on to the Smithsonian website, and I see that they have two portraits, which are done by J.B. Gregory. And then when I go back into our records, I see that the family, the Meyer family, lived in Prattsville. This is the kind of partnership that excites me, because what would be just a thing of minor interest, perhaps, becomes something that can inform American history to a greater degree if I have a partnership with someone who's so open and willing, like Michelle Delaney and others at the Smithsonian, because I can share that and we can shed light. And actually, we've identified about 25 artists who in their own time were greatly important and not so greatly important in the history of Greene County, which is another reason why I hope you think that it's a cradle or the cradle of American art.
The address for the Pratt Museum's 2014 season is Big History, Small Museums, Understanding the American Experience Through Collaboration. And I would assume, as we wrap up, Michelle, that you think that this collaboration is just beginning.
Yes, and it's wonderful that it's been a 20-year relationship. Carol and I talked the first time in 1995.
Yeah.
And then in 2005, we got a Getty grant for conservation of the Hillotype plates. And now, almost 10 years later, we continue to find nuggets of history that pertain to what we're doing with the study of American art in this area. And we just hope that our team continues to grow.
Well, it is, it's a wonderful collaboration, a wonderful partnership, and so Here's what you need to do. Find out how you can get down to the museum tomorrow. Michelle Delaney will be speaking at 1 o'clock on Saturday. The keynote address for the Pratt Museum is Big History, Small Museums, Understanding the American Experience Through a Collaboration. And better yet, if you can do that, and then just experience the Pratt Museum in Prattsville. And if you can't make it this weekend, well, by goodness, go down and check it out at some point. Anything else you wanted to, anything else going on that's exciting, Carolyn, that you want to make mention of besides just going to see the museum, right? And yes. and the Hasbrook exhibit.
Well, but we have through mid-October, we have a really nice season of events, including Betsy Jacks at Thomas Cole Museum is going to be speaking about the Hudson River School and its connection to heritage tourism and economic development. She'll be at the Pratt Museum. And the Chase Brothers are going to be playing, I think, 2 weeks from now. Instead of at the museum, they'll be at the local Agway because we want art for everyone, everywhere. And those Chase boys are related to Zadig Pratt through his sister Polly. So it's like nine generations or something.
It's all great stuff going on at the Pratt Museum. Michelle Delaney and Carolyn Bennett, my thanks to both of you for sharing this information with us. A delight.
Thank you
so
John.
Much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.